Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Tes. We began the incident with Amnon and Tamar. David HaMelech had a son, Avshalom, and he had a son, Amnon. Now, Avshalom had a sister, Tamar. And this sister, the sister of Avshalom, Tamar, was born from the same mother, Macha, and she had been captured by David in battle. She was the Yafas Toar. And she was born from David, but it's not considered to be David's child, because it was born before she officially became a Gioris, which we discussed last week. So Tamar was really not Amnon's sister. She was a half-sister with Amnon's brother, Avshalom. And the Pasuk said at the beginning of Perek Yud Gimel that Amnon had a strong desire for Tamar. And he had a friend who was a bad friend, Yonadav, who was the nephew of David HaMelech. And this friend Yonadav gave him an advice what he should do. He desired Tamar, and there was no way that she was accessible to him. She was a tsanua, she stayed privately in the house, especially all of the Jewish daughters are that way, but especially Kol Kavuda Bas Melech Penima, it was understood that the dignity of her station required that she stayed inside. She only mingled with certainly her girls, which was a conduct by all Jewish women, but this is the way Tamar was. She was privately in her house, and there was no way that Amnon could do anything. So you'd not have had an advice. Amnon pretended he was sick. As the Pasuk said, the truth is he was getting sick over this. It was always on his mind. He couldn't do anything, and it was eating him up. But he pretended he was sick, and he requested that Tamar should come and should feed him, and that would make him feel better. The simple explanation was, he explained to David, could be, it was understood he needed to eat her cooking. You know, he was a sick person, he couldn't tolerate other foods. He wanted Tamar, it was his sister, who was treated as his sister. These were all children from David, they were all part of David's household, even though, al pi halacha, they were not siblings. But they were treated as brother-sister, and he wanted his sister to come and prepare his food and to serve it to him. And the Pasuk described in detail exactly how she did every step. And in Pasuk Tes, Vatikach es hamasreis, she prepared the food, then she took the frying pan, Vatisok lefanav, and she poured out the food in front of him. This was a food that required kneading, and then it was fried. It was a whole procedure which, as she was making it, Amnon was watching every movement. And then she took and she poured it out in front of him. Vayimoyin lechol. And he refused to eat. Vayomer Amnon. And Amnon said, Hotziyu chol ish me'olai. Take everyone out. Remove everyone from the area. Vayetzu chol ish me'olav. And everybody left. He wanted his privacy. And as we mentioned, whatever's going to happen now, this is before David HaMelech made a takana that Yichud is also with a penuya, or is a single girl who's not one of the forbidden arayos, who's not a forbidden relation. If she's not impure, if she's not a nida, she's a penuya, the Torah permits it. Obviously, it can't be a zona, that's a whole separate discussion, what makes somebody a zona. But on a penuya, if she's tahira, is not forbidden from the Torah. And in those days, they were. Everyone was pure, like we mentioned. David didn't come to the meal that Shaul HaMelech hosted, and Yehonasan said, could be he wasn't pure. Everyone was careful what they ate and what they touched, and if you were not in a state of purity, you wouldn't join the meal of people who were eating with that care. So anyways, the girls, the women, everyone was careful with the purity, married or not, and therefore, the Torah permitted this. And it was a brother and a sister. It permitted them to be alone. That's to be in the same room. That's permitted. And he asked, everyone should leave. And everyone left. It could be they left and they were afraid afterwards when they heard what was going on inside there. It could be they heard shouts or whatever, but it could be they were afraid to say anything or do anything because Amnon was the firstborn of David HaMelech. People assumed that he would be the next king. Obviously, David realized, we'll see in a moment, what type of a person Amnon was, and we'll see later on what type of a son Avshalom was, and David knew these were not his heirs, and he was looking for the wife who would bear a child who would be fit to be the king, which we learned already was Bathsheba, and Shlomo, who would be the king, was born. But at this point, the oldest son, I mean at every point, the oldest son was Amnon, and people thought that he would be the king. But the truth is, even without that, it's as we'll see in a moment, they probably didn't even hear what was going on. Because Amnon told them to leave. And it could be when they were dismissed, they went home, they were gone. But even if they would have waited outside the room, Vayomer Amnon el Tamar, in Pasuk Tes, Amnon said to Tamar, Havi habirya, bring this birya, this light meal, hacheder, to the room. In other words, we're going into an inner room, not the outer room, but it's a room within a room. Bring it into this other room. So obviously the people probably wouldn't have heard, even if they were standing outside the door. But bring it into the room, ve'evre miyodech. And I want to eat this light meal, miyodech, from your hand. Vatikach Tamar, so Tamar took es halavivos asher asasa. She took these levivos, I saw it translated as dumplings. As I say, it's not a pancake or a latke because the dough was kneaded, and then it was fried. But she took these levivos asher asasa that she had made, batovei laAmnon achi, and she brought it to Amnon, her brother, hechodra, to the inner room. And this whole mice again is going to be a lesson again, the danger of yichud, and the lessons. This is going to be the reason why yichud is going to be forbidden, even with a penuya. And also it's a lesson, and our Tamar, we'll see, was a tzaddikus, and she had the values of a Bas Yisrael, but it was almost like she was a little naive, or it could be this type of thing, what's going to happen was so rare in Klal Yisrael, she just didn't, she wasn't aware. In other words, she didn't think twice of it. In other words, Amnon told her to come into the room. Could be she thought he was sicker than he was, and she really thought that, you know, she needed him to actually bring it, but she went along with this. Vatage she lov. So she served the food to Amnon, lechol to eat. Vayachazek bo. And then Amnon grabbed her. Vayomer lo, and he said to her. And the word amira, sometimes the Torah used the word vayomer or vayadaber. There are different terms for the tone of voice. Vayomer lo is in a very mild way. It was almost as if Amnon assumed that he could persuade her, and he grabbed her that she couldn't run out, but Vayomer lo, he said to her in a mild manner, he said to her, Boi shichvi imi, come and lie with me, achosi, my sister. And if he figured he would, again, it was not really his sister, they were permitted to each other, but he said, achosi, my sister, to show that, you know, they're close, and if it's permitted, he wanted to do the saver with her. Vatomer lo. So she said to Amnon, Al ochi, no, my brother, Al taneini, don't violate me, don't do this against my will. Ki lo ye'oseh chein b'Yisrael, such a thing is not done in Klal Yisrael. Al taseyas hanavola hazos, don't do this despicable act. You know, by Shechem, in Parshas Vayishlach, we learned over there, it says, when Shechem took Dina, and also it says he lived with her, he violated her, it says the children of Yaakov, the Bnei Yaakov, heard, and they were very upset. Over there the Pasuk says, Ki nevola osa b'Yisrael. A despicable act was done in Klal Yisrael, against Klal Yisrael. Lishkav es bas Yaakov, to live with the daughter of Yaakov Avinu. V'chein lo yeyosa. And such a thing isn't done. And the Beis HaLevi has a beautiful explanation on that pasuk. The question is, it's such a contrast. It doesn't, the pasuk seems out of place. It says such a despicable act was done, and then it ends off, v'chein lo yeyosa, and it's not proper. It's like, on one hand, you tell me it's terrible, and then to drive your point home, you say it's, and it's not right, it's not proper, it's anticlimactical. It's to say it's not proper. So the Beis Halevi explains what Shechem did for Klal Yisrael was a nevola osa b'Yisrael. It was a despicable thing. It was a nevola to be done. The Kedusha of Yaakov Avinu is so tremendous, it's beyond our imagination. And to take the daughter of Yaakov Dina, who was also on a tremendously high madrega, but to Lishka v'spas Yaakov was such a terrible nevola, Shechem did the worst thing you could imagine. But you might say, you know, Shechem didn't appreciate why it was so terrible. And as he saw Dina and he was attracted and he did the Aveira, you know, he didn't realize what he was doing. So the Beis Halevi explains, that's why the Pasuk continues, V'chein lo yeyosa. Even if she's not a Bas Yaakov, even if she's not Dina, but V'chein lo yeyosa, everyone knows you don't do such a thing. As Rashi says, even the Goyim after the Mabul were careful not to, from Arayis, they didn't do this type of thing. V'chein lo yeyosa. The Beis Halevi explains, he deserves a punishment, ki nevola osa b'Yisrael lishkavas bas Yaakov. He deserves a punishment for what he did with Dina. And don't think he wasn't aware of who Dina was, because v'chein lo yeyosa. Everyone agrees you don't do such a thing. And once he's aware of the crime, even though in his eyes it's not so significant, but if he knows he's doing wrong and he does it anyways, you can blame him for the nevola osa b'Yisrael. Here the Pasuk has the opposite order. Oh, I would think could be what the Pasuk is saying. She's speaking to Amnon. So first she tells him, Kilo ye'otzechein b'Yisrael. Such a thing is not done in Klal Yisrael. And he's listening to her, and she's trying to drive home her point. And then she gives the stronger point, Al tase es hanavola hazos. It's not just a behavior that's not proper. It's an avol, it's a despicable thing. And kilo yotzechein b'Yisrael, it could be at this point in history, I would assume the goyim had already slipped back. As Rashi says in Vayishlach, the goyim after the Mabul, and it obviously lasted a few hundred years, till the times of Dina, the goyim were careful not to do this type of action. But at this point, I assume the goyim had lowered their standards, were back to the priestess lifestyle that they usually had. But in Klal Yisrael, kilo ye'osechein b'Yisrael, such a thing is not done in Klal Yisrael. It's not done. And this action was a rarity. It was the type of thing that wasn't heard about. It was just not done. Al tasiyas hanavola hazos. Don't do this despicable action. Obviously, Tamar, who had been born from Macha, who was the Efas Toar, on her mother's side, she was not from a Jewish background. Later on, her mother, and obviously she was Megayer, or her mother was Megayer when before she was born, when her mother was pregnant, she was Megayer. But the conception hadn't been B'Tahara. I mean, Tamar came from a background where it was not the regular Jewish background. And yet she had picked up the values to realize that this is a nevola, to think of it as a nevola, such a despicable act. And we'll see. On the other hand, her brother Avshalom was obviously no good. But we'll see. So Vatomer lo, there are three objections that Tamar raised. And she told Amnon, first of all, what about my honor? And what about your honor? That's second of all. And what about the action itself? Three reasons why he should not carry through what he's thinking. Vatomalo, she said to him, Alochi, don't do this, my brother. You're my brother. So siblings have to care for each other. You should be thinking of me. You should be thinking of yourself. We're brother and sister. Al ta'aneni, and the act itself, to violate, with force, to be ma'ane, to cause this, the act itself is terrible. And then she spells it out. Ki le'yosechein b'Yisrael, the act shouldn't be done, al tasiyas hanavol hazos, is despicable. Va'ani, and for me, ana olich eschar pasi. Where am I going to carry my disgrace? After it's all over, what's going to happen with my life? You've ruined my life. Where am I going to go? Ve'ata, and for you, now she's discussing, and for you, tia ka'achar hanavolim. And this one moment, you're going to destroy your reputation. One minute you're known as the son of the king and the Bachar and the person who people think would become the king. And now you're going to be thought of as tia ka'achar hanavolim. You're going to be one of the vile, you know, the low lives of society. People are going to think that you destroy your life. You're going to be like one of the nevolim be Yisrael and Klal Yisrael. So the act is wrong. What about me? What about you? Va'ato now dabar no'el ha-melech. Speak now to the king. Ki lo yimno eini mimeka. If you want me, speak to the king, and he won't withhold me from you. We're permitted. And if you speak to the king, it can be worked out. It can be worked out. I'm permitted to you. But don't do anything right now. It could be Tomo was saying also, such an act is not done in Klal Yisrael. She was saying again, she was raised in the household of David HaMelech, and she had an upbringing, and she was certainly, as a Bas Yisrael, as a Jewish daughter, and as part of Klal Yisrael. She was telling him again, don't look at me as coming from the daughter of a Yafas Toar, as if from a background that, you know, these things are not so important. But no, such a thing is not done in Klal Yisrael, and I'm part of Klal Yisrael. V'lo ova lishmoa b'kola. Amnon didn't want to listen to her voice. Originally, this is the first time we mentioned he didn't want to listen. But it says he didn't want to listen b'kola, to her voice. Meaning he heard, but he didn't want to accept her words. He heard what she said, but he didn't listen to her voice. Vayechazak mimena. And he overpowered her. Vayaneo, and he violated her. Vayishkavoso, and he lived with her. Her arguments didn't help. Vayisnoeha Amnon, and then Amnon hated her. Sino gedola ma'od, it was a tremendous hatred. Ki gedola hasino asher sneo, it was greater the hatred he now felt toward her. Me'ahavo asher aheva, from the love that he had had a moment before. He had such a strong desire, we mentioned it was on his mind and he couldn't, and he was getting sick over it. Once it was all over, he now, as great as his love had been, now was an even greater hatred. Vayomer lo Amnon, and Amnon said to her, Kumi Lechi, get up and get out. Why did he have such a straight hatred? The Gemara says, Chazal saying the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that as a result of what happened in the struggle or whatever, he forced her, there was a hair there, and he physically became blemished. He became a krus shofcha, and he was injured in a way that he could no longer have children. And that's obviously why, when you realize what happened to him, that he really did destroy, in a physical sense also, he destroyed his life. That's why he had such a tremendous hatred. But the Mefarshim mentioned other reasons. The Ralbag says, she had been arguing with him, and the Pusik encapsulates the main idea what she had said to him. That it's wrong for her, it's wrong for him, the action is wrong, but we can be assured that she was yelling and heaping scorn on him and saying a lot of other things, anything to cause him to desist. And now that it was all over, and her words were ringing in his ears, everything that she called him and said to him, he had such a hatred because he knew what she thought of him. In other words, she had this hatred to him, and it were reflected, and that's the way he felt toward her now. The Radak says this hatred was inspired min hashamayim. Again, this was all part of, it was a part of a plan of David HaMelech receiving these terrible punishments and the tragedies coming from his house. And that's what's happening now is, it was an unusual that the hatred would be so great. But we're going to see the hatred was so great, that's why Amnon told her, get up and get out of here. And the way he treated her was such a terrible thing, which we'll discuss more in a moment, but that was all because he had such a hatred. He couldn't tolerate her. So what he did to her now is an even greater thing. He just, a greater abhorrent act to just take her after this and throw her out. And her brother Avshalom is going to see what happens, and her brother Avshalom is going to take revenge. But in order for the whole story to continue with the suffering of what David HaMelech went through, with the tsar from his family, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw to it that he had a greater hatred. The hatred was magnified much more than we would have thought. Another pshat that's given is, the Me'am Lois brings down the phrase, Rishoyim Maleim Charotois. The Rishoyim are full of regret. A Rasha lives his life. In other words, he goes ahead and he can't stand up to the Yetzirah. It's very difficult. But instead of putting up a fight, he ends up giving in. And he lives his life with regrets. You know, in other words, yesterday he should have done something different, and a month ago he should have done different, and about the future he doesn't think of, and he keeps on making mistakes. But he's always got his charot on the past, but he never does anything to change. Of course, we know it's very difficult to change, but all the Bali Musar mention a person should do at least take a small step, do, and if there's a problem, show, you know, you have to take some action. You have to make a change, show that you're trying, and of course, we change as much as we can, but you got to do something. But the nature of Russia is they're full of regrets. And we see an example of that over here. In his mind, he had such a Yetzirah and such a desire. And this is just what he wanted, what he wanted, what he wanted. When it was all over, he realized, in words, this was a terrible Aveira, and now he doesn't have the desire. He looks at it with a rational viewpoint, and he realizes he ruined her life, and he ruined his life, and he did such a terrible action. And it was all together with her. And now he has a terrible hatred because she's the one who caused him to do such a terrible Aveira. Right? If she wouldn't be around, it never would have happened. It's all her fault. The Malbim says, he hated her. Vayisnoeho Amnon. Amnon hated her. It was a sina gedola mod, a great hatred. You know why it was such a great hatred? Ki gedola hasina asher sneo. The hatred that he had for her was so great, me'avo asher ahevo, because it was generated by the love that he had for her. Or as whenever he thought of that love that he had for her, and that she caused him to ruin his life, she was the cause of this, of his downfall. And therefore he couldn't tolerate it. He had such a hatred that she was the one who ruined him. Vayomer lo Amnon, so Amnon said to her, kumi lechi, get up and get out. Vatomerlo. So Tomer now says to Amnon, Al odos haroah hagedola hazos. No, concerning this terrible evil, me'acheres asher osiso imi, from the other evil you did with me. It's a difficult pasuk to translate, but that's the way the Mefarshim learn. What you're thinking of doing now, don't do this evil that you're planning to do now. Al odos haroah hagedola hazos. Don't do this evil right now. And what you're doing to me right now is worse, me'acheres asher osiso imi, from the other evil that you did with me. You had a Yetzirah, and you took me by force, and it was a terrible action. We're not condoning that. But there's a halacha in the Torah. What happens if such a tragedy happens? V'losia le'isha. If somebody forces a woman, a naira besula, and he lives with her, so the halacha is he has to take her as a wife. And the Mefarshim discuss, of course, if she doesn't want, a lot of people wonder, of course she's not going to want such a type of guy. But it could be, you never know the situation. Sometimes she knows her life is ruined. And it could be the person who was overcome with his desire did this Aveira now. But at least she knows that if she wants, she has a husband and somebody will have to take care of her. Lo yuchel shalcha kol yomav. He's not allowed to divorce her. He has to keep her as a wife forever and take care of her. So he ruined her life, but now it's his headache. Now he's got to stay married to her forever. But to go after such an action, to kick her out, that's worse than the original action. He didn't want to hear her. That was the diuk we had before. In Pasuk Yudalid, when she told him not to do anything, it says, he didn't want to hear in her voice. Or he didn't want to hear the message. Like it says, Kosher Tomar Alecha Sarah Shema Bekola. Avram was told, listen to the voice of Sarah, meaning listen to the message, accept it. Hear Bekola. I mean, Chazal, they say Ruach HaKodesh, but Bekola means to listen to the message, to accept what's being said. And originally, V'lo Ava Lishmoa Bekola, he didn't want to hear her voice. He heard what she said, and he didn't accept it. He ignored her. He didn't want to hear her out. Here, he didn't want to hear her. It was totally closed off. He didn't even hear what she was saying. V'lo Ava Lishmoa, he didn't even want to hear her. She was tining. Her argument was, first of all, in terms of derech eretz, in terms of proper conduct, it's understood even without a mitzvah in the Torah. In other words, he made a mistake, he did something wrong, but now he should at least try to show his remorse and try to help the situation as much as possible. In other words, he's responsible, he made a mistake. Okay, so now you got to try to fix it as best you can. So there's the simple derech eretz, the decency that's lacking. Besides the fact what the Torah says, that it's his responsibility if somebody does this type of action, he's responsible, and v'lasiyah le'isha, he would have to marry her. Vayikra. So Amnon called Esnaro Meshorso, his nar, his lad, Meshorso, who is his attendant. Vayomer, and he said, Shilchu noazos, send now this person, Me'olai, send her away. Hachutza, send her outside. Una'ola delos achareho, and lock the door after her. Make sure she doesn't come walking back in. You see the gaiva and the scorn. In other words, he treated her like a zayna, like a loose woman. In other words, he treated her like garbage. And as he vented whatever lusts and desire he had, then he told her to get up and get out, and then he tells his nar, he doesn't even want to refer to her by name. Shulchu no ezos. Send this one out. It was a minute ago he lived with her. But send this one out, may all life from before me. Hachutza, send her outside. And make sure to lock the door afterwards. Ve'oleo ksonis pasim. She was wearing a ksonis pasim, a colorful tunic, kichein tilbashna benos hamelech, because that's what the princesses, the daughters of the king, would wear, habasulos, though the maidens, those who hadn't been married, they would wear me'ilim robes. Vayotze oso meshorso hachutz. So his servant took her outside, v'nol hadela sachreo, and he locked the door. And the Mefarshim point out, it says she was wearing a ksonis pasim, because the daughters of the king would wear me'ilim. That's a change in terms. First you say she was wearing a ksonis pasim, because the princesses would wear me'ilim. The Malbim explains that the ksonis was like a shirt. It was worn under the other clothing. The me'il was worn on top of it. Normally, the daughters, the benos hamelech, would wear me'ilim. They would wear robes on the outside. And underneath, the shirt underneath, was also a nice shirt. It was a ksonis pasim. It was this colorful tunic, but it was not... The proper thing is when they went outside, they always had the me'il, the robe on top, right? You can have a nice shirt, and some people always walk around with a jacket. You know, in other words, they always wore a me'il, and the ksonis pasim was underneath. When he sent her out, at the time of the action, the me'il, the robe, was removed. He took off her robe. Now, v'olea ksonis pasim, when she went out and she left his house, his room, she was only wearing this colorful tunic that's worn under the clothing. I mean, a shirt, as opposed to the jacket or the robe. Kichein tilbashna benos hamelech habesulos, even though it's proper that the royal daughters would wear me'ilim robes. So it was clear that she was not going out even dressed in a proper manner. As he took her the way she was and he kicked her out. Vayotze osa mishorso achutz, and his servant took her outside, v'nol hadela sachreoni, locked the door after her. again, he treated her as if she was not a princess, as if she wasn't part of the royal family, as if she was a zayna, that she was cheap, and that he didn't care for her at all. Vatikach Tamar Efer. Tamar took ashes, al roshan, she put it on her head, as a sign of extreme mourning. Uchsones hapasim asher aleha kara'a. And this colorful tunic that was on her, she tore. Vatosem yoda al rosha, and she put her hand on her head. Vatelech holoch, and she went walking here and there. Vizaoka, and crying out. She made a public spectacle. She went out and is crying of what had happened. This cry of Tamar was heard. As Chazal say, David HaMelech took note, and we'll see in a moment. David HaMelech heard what happened, and he realized, that's it, we have to make a gezerah on Yichud, that you're not allowed to be secluded, even with a Pnuya. And it doesn't make a difference, anybody, whether he's the simplest person or the greatest tzaddik, whether he's choshev like Amnon was choshev, it doesn't make a difference who. Yichud is forbidden with a Pnuya, except, of course, you know, the mother, daughter, those relatives that are, I mean, you know, a person's mother, a person's daughter, a person's sister on a temporary, you know, they shouldn't live permanently together, but they, those certain relatives are permitted because there's not a normal desire. But by a regular woman, Yichud is forbidden, even if she's not married, even again if she would be Tahira, she would not be impure, but Yichud is not allowed. And it's also a lesson in general, the approach. Now, sometimes a person will think they used to, you know, how does a person minimize the desires and the Yetzirah and these areas, which we discussed a little last week. But you see from Chazal, the Maisa, a person has a Yetzirah and he has desires, and the way is to make sure there's no situation they can do the Aveira. Simple. You don't have to... There's no great psychology or whatever. The point is, if they're not together and there's no yichud, that's the greatest preventive measure that such a thing shouldn't happen. That you're never allowed to be alone. In this cases that, you know, qualify as yichud. Obviously, there's many halachas to be learned in depth. But the basic concept is, if there's no yichud, these things won't happen. And as Chazal say, if such a thing happens to benos malachim, to royal daughters, if somebody could do such a thing to Tamar, can you imagine a simple girl from a regular family? She's certainly not protected. And if such a thing could happen to somebody like Tamar, who was a tsanua, who had these qualities and was modest, and so if somebody would be looser and would be more of a prusa, certainly these things would happen. So Chazal made the takana that Yichud is not allowed. And one last thought on that. You see the derech of the tzaddik, and when a tragedy like this happens, it's always brought as a motivation to correct and to improve and to bring about a takana for Klal Yisrael, a benefit. In other words, this was a terrible thing that happened to David HaMelech. But after this, for the rest of time, for the centuries afterwards, Klal Yisrael is protected that such a thing doesn't happen. Yichud is usur, and the lesson is learnt and absorbed, and it won't happen again. Vayomrei leho Avshalom ochiho. Her brother Avshalom said to her, Ha'aminon ochich hoyayimach. Was Amnon your brother with you? It's unusual that they put an extra yud in his word. Ha'aminon ochich. It's Amnon, the same person. Amnon. Aminon, Amnon. Some say put in the yud as a sign of more endearment, because we'll see in a moment Avshalom is going to tell Tamar, let's downplay what happened. Don't make a big scene out of this. Ha'aminon achich hayayimach. Was Amnon your brother with you? Va'ata now, achosi, my sister, hacharishi, be silent. Achichu, he's your brother. Al toshisias libech ladover hazeh. Don't put your heart to this matter. What he was telling you was a number of different things here. She had three reasons why this act should not have been done. And Avshalom addresses all of them. First of all, you're worried about your disgrace. What are you going to do with the rest of your life? People are going to think, how could such a thing happen to me? Ha'aminon achich hoya imach. Was it your brother Amnon who was with you? If it happened with your brother, nobody's going to look at you as to blame. It's not like you went ahead with a strange man and something like that. It was your brother. You weren't expected to know or to suspect him of such evil motives. It was your brother. Nobody's going to look at you as having done something wrong. And about the honor of Amnon, va'ata now achosi, my sister achrishi, be silent, ochichu. After all is said and done, he's your brother. In other words, we're all part of the royal family. He's treated as a brother. He's your brother. So don't make a big deal out of it because you're hurting him. Aye, the despicable action. Don't dwell on it. Don't put your heart to it. Get over it. Go on with your life. That's what Avshalom told her. Now, it's not clear from the psukim. In other words, we know what Avshalom ended up doing. Avshalom took revenge. He didn't get over it. And 2 years later, he got his revenge. Avshalom did not get over it. Whether he, from the very beginning, was planning revenge and he was just telling her this, or maybe he himself was hoping to forget it and he just couldn't get it out of his mind and he just couldn't get over it. But this is what he tells her. Don't put your heart to this matter. Vateshev Tamar v'shomeima. Tamar sat and she was desolate. She was all alone. Beis Avshalom Achia, in the household of her brother Avshalom. Tamar used to go out and go strolling with the other girls. They went together. It was partying. This was high society over here. She was in the David family. And all of a sudden now she didn't want to leave her house. But Teshev, she sat where she was. She stayed inside. She didn't want to see anyone. V'shomeimon, she was alone. She didn't want to, and nobody came to see her. She didn't want any company. She just sat by herself, mourning and despondent, sitting there day after day after day, Beis Avshalom Achi, in the house of her brother Avshalom. And we'll see, this may have been Avshalom's thoughts from the very beginning to take revenge. But even if it wasn't, certainly the fact that Avshalom comes home and day by day his sister's there and he sees what's going on. You know, he tells her, don't take heart, don't think about it too much. But now he's forced to think about it. Every time he walks in and out of the house, there's his sister, Tamar, and he knows what happened and how Tamar's life was ruined, and it's all because of Amnon. So it just builds up the anger in Avshalom's heart, and Avshalom is going to do something about it. Va'amelech David, King David, Shomais kol hadvarim ha'ele, he heard all these things. David heard exactly what happened. Vayichar lo me'oid. And he was very angry. And then we'll see in a moment, we're back to Avshalom, the next pasuk. It doesn't say what David did. It seems to be he did nothing. He was very angry, but that's it. The Malbim points out that Vahamelech David, he didn't give him tochacha. He didn't do anything. It seems in the pasuk he was very angry, but he didn't take any action. And that again added to Avshalom's frustration. Or something terrible was done with his sister Tamar and nobody's doing anything about it. David hears and he's very angry, but then nothing happened. Where's the punishment? Where's justice? And that's why Avshalom feels he's got to act. Now, why didn't David do anything? The pasuk says, first of all, Vahamelech David, the King David. And we've pointed that sometimes he's referred to just Vahamelech, sometimes just David. Here it seems David is acting as the father, he's David as the person, and Vahamelech, but he's also the king. And for a scandal to rock the nation, that this happened with David's son Amnon, who would have been the heir to take over the throne, people would assume he was would be the next king. And that Amnon should do such a thing with Tamar, as the Hamelech David, as the King David, he didn't take any action. He was very angry. But he wanted to, as Avshalom had mentioned, this idea of keeping it quiet. So it could be he felt it would damage the Malchus, so he didn't do anything. Or it could be, after this Maisa with Bathsheba, another explanation born in Chazal, is the Ruach HaKodesh had left David. David HaMelech was going through a very difficult period in his own life, after this incident with Bathsheba, and it could be at this point he didn't feel able to take action about this. It was terrible and he was angry, but he wasn't able to act on it. It could be he was afraid people would say, Amnon is like his father, Chalila. Now, as David HaMelech, we already learned the Heterim and David HaMelech's story with that. But people would say, oh, David took Bathsheba, and now his son Amnon takes Tamar. So he had to keep it low-key, and he didn't do anything about it. Or others learn, of course he said Tochacha. There's no question about it. He said Tochacha, and he rebuked him, and he must have told him harshly. But the Navi doesn't write it because it's not relevant, the fact that he spoke to him and he corrected. That's understood. Of course he must have given him Musar. But there was no actual punishment. He heard what happened, Vayichaloma Odin, he was very angry. But there was no punishment. Now the truth is, the punishment, again, it's difficult to know if there, it seems there shouldn't have been a punishment. The rule is, what we mentioned before, that if somebody violates and he lives forcibly with this girl, he has to pay a knas, there's a penalty to pay 50 kesef. That's brought down by a naira besula. By a girl who just reached the age of adulthood, and Chazal learned, even if she's a child, anywhere up to like the age of a boigris, to let's say 12 and a half. At a certain stage, she's considered adult enough that the knas doesn't apply. The Ramban mentions in the Parshas Mishpatim, on the Pasuk V'chi Yafate Ish Besula Asher Lo Orasa, the Torah in Mishpatim talks about a man living with a unmarried girl, what the penalty is. There's a long Ramban, and at the end the Ramban makes the point, and he says, an adult woman, Tishomer Me'oines, she'll be careful that such a, Ba'omda Al Daita, Tishmor Me'oines. When she's Oimer Al Daita, when she's an adult and she understands, she'll be careful that such a thing doesn't happen. And indeed, it is a rarity. So the special din of a knas, the Torah made on somebody who's still young and is not able to protect himself, and that's when the Torah made the penalty. Now over here, the penalty would be paid to a minor, and it's paid to her father. Here the father is David. So David is not going to demand that Amnon should pay him, and as it's his child, he's living from David. You know, the fact that it was David, and David didn't want to do anything, but there was no other punishment except for to tell his child to pay him. And in terms of marrying her, again, if she would be a gedola, that wouldn't apply. But in any case, Tamar didn't want to marry him. Tamar was all upset about what he had done. We can assume Tamar didn't want to marry her. It was the type of situation where it could be there was no penalty legislated by the Torah. Now, in terms of the king going ahead and giving an extra penalty, again, there was no Edom, there was no witnesses, he hadn't been warned, it was all based on Tamar's say-so, and so penalties are not given out anyways by the courts if there's no Edom and Hasrof, there's no witnesses, and there's no, the person wasn't warned. And the Avera that happened here was, we mentioned, was there was no chi of Karis. If Tamar would have been pure, and if she was in a state of purity, so it was a despicable act. And such a thing is never done. And as we discussed before, it's terrible what happened. But legally, it's not even a chi of Karis. There's not even the chi of being cut off from Klal Yisrael. So it was the type of thing where David HaMelech, Vayichar lo ma'oid, he was very angry. We're not minimizing at all. He was very angry. But he didn't actually give a punishment due to one of these reasons. But that caused Avshalom to get more upset. Such a thing happened to his sister, and nothing is being done. It says in Koheles, which was written by Shlomo HaMelech, that was Avshalom's brother, Amnon's brother, Shlomo HaMelech. There's a pasuk in the seventh perek, Tov Ka'as Mischok. Anger is better than gaiety, than being laughing. Kivaro upon him, with a sad countenance, with a bad face, yitav lev, it improves the heart. It's a difficult pasuk to understand, but It's brought down in terms of this. Sometimes if somebody shows an angry face, kivaro aponim, yitav lev, people, it improves the heart, it makes people feel better. Perhaps if David HaMelech would have shown his displeasure, he would have somehow vented his, he would have done something to Amnon, yitav lev Avshalom would have felt better. It was almost as if the fact that he was missing that element, he didn't show the way he felt and he didn't mete out a punishment, that caused that Avshalom was as upset as he was. V'lo dibur Avshalom im Amnon. Avshalom didn't speak with Amnon l'mirova atov, not from bad to good. It seems he didn't speak anything. Kisonei Avshalom es Amnon. Because Avshalom hated Amnon. Al devar asher ino, because he violated his Tamar achoso, Tamar his sister. Avshalom, again, Avshalom and Tamar had the same mother and the same father. This was his sister. And Avshalom hated Amnon for what he did. By Yaakov Avinu, when Lavan was chasing after him, Hashem told Lavan, Hishomer lecha, be careful that you don't speak midabrim Yaakov mitovad ra. Don't speak from good to bad. Here it says, L'meirov atov, from bad to good. Because when Lavan came to Yaakov, he would start mitoyv with all the good. I've done so much good for you, and I cared for you, and you got so much wealth all these years you were in my house. And va'ad ra, and then ends up bad, accusing Yaakov of running away and doing the wrong thing, and Lavan trying to get Yaakov to come back, which would have been bad. But it'd start off good, and it'd end off bad. Here the Pasuk is saying, Avshalom didn't speak to Amnon, l'meira, not from bad, va'ad tov, and not to good. It would have started off bad. He would have gone over to Amnon, they would have started arguing, would have said his complaints, and Amnon would have excused himself and accepted the blame, and eventually you could have gotten to that toiv. It would have started off bad, but at least hopefully it could have ended up good. The Ralbag says over here, Lamadnu mizeh, we learn from this, kikvar tusar hasina, the hatred would be removed, kishayamud adam ledabrim reyeyu. If you get up and you speak to your friend, something's upsetting you, you get up and you tell him. That alone would remove the hatred. Ibnei hasina, because of the satred, the meirov atoy. If you say anything, say whether it's bad or good, but if you're able to keep open the communication and speak to him and tell him why you're feeling, which is what the Torah says, one explanation is, you should rebuke your friend if he's done something wrong, you got to give him hochacha, and then you won't come to do, it won't lead to worse sins. That's one explanation. Which is what happened over here with Avshalom. He didn't say that to hochacha, he didn't rebuke Amnon, he didn't say anything, and he ended off that he was Sisal of Chait. He did have the terrible Aver. We're going to see what Avshalom did as a result. He didn't speak good because he had nothing good to say to Amnon. And he didn't speak bad because could be he was afraid of Amnon. He figured Amnon was going to be the next king. Amnon was the most important of the sons at this point. Could be he didn't want to say, he was afraid to speak to Amnon and to rebuke him. Maybe Avshalom thought, you know, he's not going to speak about it, I'll just try to put it out of his, just try to get over it. He himself would try to get over it. But it didn't work. Or it could be he didn't speak to him because he's already plotting. He's already conniving how he's going to get the revenge. We also see this nature of Avshalom. Avshalom is a person who's able to keep hidden his thoughts. It starts now. He's already 2 years later, he's going to get Amnon. He's going to get his revenge. And for 2 years, he can go on without speaking to Avshalom. Avshalom doesn't speak to Amnon for 2 years. We see what Avshalom is like. For 2 years, he keeps hidden his thoughts. Later on, he is going to show that same type of nature. When David is going to be the king, and Avshalom is going to speak to the people, and show how much he cares for the people, and he wants to be their leader, and eventually he's going to draw them over to his side, and then turn against David HaMelech. But he's going to, again, it's going to take, he's going to have to be able to keep things hidden. His thoughts of being king, he can't let out. He works the crowds. He gets them on his side. He's very persuasive. Avshalom is able to get people to do whatever he wants them to do. And then, when it's the right time, he lets you know his motive and what he's up to. And that's what he's doing now. Avshalom didn't speak to Amnon the Merov Atov. We'll see shortly. He gets Amnon to come when they're shearing the sheep. They're going to cut the wool off of the sheep. Avshalom is going to make a big party, and Amnon is going to come. And the Mefarshim are bothered. If he's a sworn enemy of Amnon, and they don't speak together, how could it be Amnon agreed to go to this party of Avshalom? And therefore, the pasuk they teach as follows. V'lodibar Avshalom im Amnon l'mirov atov. Avshalom didn't speak to Amnon, not bad or good. Kisoni Avshalom is Amnon because Avshalom hated Amnon. Do you want to know what they didn't talk about? Al devar asher inois tamar achoso. They didn't discuss the subject of what happened. Avshalom pretended as if he wasn't aware of it. He didn't know about it. He didn't care about it. They talked. They did talk. But v'lodibar Avshalom, they didn't speak al devar asher inois tamar achoso. They didn't speak about what Avshalom did with, what Amnon did with Tamar. Avshalom avoided that subject. And Amnon, I'm sure at the beginning, was suspicious. The first few weeks and months, there's got to be some time that Avshalom is going to call him to task. But Avshalom didn't. And the time went on, and eventually Amnon figured, it's forgotten. Avshalom never mentioned it to begin with. It obviously didn't make too much of a difference to him. And 2 years later, Amnon goes to Avshalom's party. Vayilish Masayim Yomim. It was 2 years later. Vayiyu Gozizim L'Avshalom. They were cutting the wool off of the sheep. They were shearing the sheep of Avshalom. Baval Chotzar Asherim Ephraim, in the place Baal Chotzar, that was a plain, flat land of Chotzar that was near Shevet Ephraim. Vayikra Avshalom Mechol B'nei HaMelech. Avshalom called all of the royal family. Chazal say, the Yerushalmi in Soita, Paragimel, for these 2 years, Amnon was Isaac B'Tayra. He was trying to get his life back. You know, he realized he ruined himself. So he went to the Beis Medrash, and he started learning. I don't know what he was doing beforehand. Certainly he wasn't thinking in Torah when this terrible action happened. But now he went for 2 years and he went to learn. And therefore he lived for another 2 years. He had this extension, the Zechus helped him, of learning. Also, you see, David HaMelech, we're going to see, gets one punishment after another. But they're spaced. They're not immediate. David had that tragedy that Bathsheba's first baby died, and then he had this tragedy that Amnon lived with Tamar. But there's going to be 2 years go by before his son Amnon is killed. It's not immediately one after another. But 2 years later, they're cutting the wool off of the sheep. Vayikra Avshalom Mechol B'nei HaMelech. Avshalom calls the whole royal family, all the B'nei HaMelech. Now again, we're going to see he wants Amnon there because he wants to kill Amnon. It's hard to know. Did he really invite everyone? And we're going to see he wanted David to come. Vayavo Avshalom el HaMelech. Avshalom came to the king. Vayomer, and he said, Hinei no gozazim lavdecha. They're cutting the wool off of the sheep from your servant, meaning himself. Yelech no hamelech v'avodav. Let the king go now with his servants. Im avdecha, come with your servant. He's a son, but that's the way you speak to a king. Maybe our kibbutz aim should even be a regular father, but he referred to his father. He said, your servant. Let the king come together with your servant. Now, it could be, if David would have accepted the invitation, he wouldn't have killed Amnon. I assume he wouldn't have killed Amnon if David would have been there. Some of Forshim say that he knew David HaMelech would say no. He knew the way David HaMelech was and that David HaMelech wouldn't come. But it's, again, you don't see in the pasuk his motive is so well hidden, the way he didn't just make a party invite Amnon. Of course Amnon's going to say he's not coming. But he does it, he invites the whole family, and he asks David HaMelech should come together with his avodim. They were going to shear the wool off of the sheep, and they made a big party. Not just because they saw all the wealth, you know, you wait all these weeks and months for the wool to grow, and finally you cut it off, now you know you can deposit the check in the bank. You know, in other words, now you have all the wealth. The shearing has been done. But besides that, you had the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez. This was a mitzvah that couldn't be done every day. It had to be when the wool grew, they cut off the wool, and they gave the first wool to the Kohen. So I guess like you make a big suit, a big party for a Pidyon HaBen when you give the Matnas Kahuna, the gifts to the Kohen. So it was a festive event. They would cut off the wool and they would do the mitzvah of Reishis Hagez, and he invited David HaMelech. Vayomer HaMelech al Avshalom. And the king said to Avshalom, Al b'ni, know my son, Al no nelech kulanu, let us not all go. V'lo nichbar alecha. We don't want to make it too difficult for you. You're going to invite the whole royal household, all the b'nei HaMelech, and the king always goes with his servants. It's too much. It's too difficult for you. Vayifrotzbo. Again, it's hard to know what Avshalom really had in mind. Vayifrotzbo. Vayifrotz means to importune and to keep on asking. Like you break through a wall is a pirtza. He's like determined to penetrate David HaMelech's feelings and emotions. He really bothers him a lot. Come, come, come. Vayifrotzbo. But v'lo avololeches. David didn't want to go. Vayivorcheyu. But he gave him a blessing. As he couldn't go, but he gave him a blessing. Again, exactly what David HaMelech felt. In other words, David HaMelech could be didn't suspect that Avshalom was up to anything. He gave him a blessing. On the other hand, other Mephoshim say he didn't want to go, even though it meant so much to Avshalom. Avshalom was asking, and he was refusing. Like, what's the big deal? If it means so much to Avshalom, why didn't he go? But David sensed there's something wrong. Something bad is going to come out of this. And therefore, David didn't want to go. Some learn he didn't want to go because he was afraid of an ayin hara. David HaMelech is going to go with all the B'nai HaMelech. He brings down a chazal that when a person goes to the chasn, he doesn't go normally go with the whole family. It's whatever, he wants to avoid the ayin hara, to go with everyone. Or could be he felt something was going to be wrong. Could be Avshalom knew that David wouldn't want to go. Could be in general, David HaMelech's path in Avodas Hashem was not one of partying, and he lived with a very austere lifestyle, and he was very minimal comforts and pleasures, and he avoided parties. And certainly after the smaisa with Avshalom, with Bathsheba, that he was involved in doing tshuva, could be Avshalom knew he wasn't going to come. But in any case, he didn't come, but he gave Avshalom a bracha. First he said, Albany, know my son, Al non nelech klonu, we shouldn't all go, v'lo nichbar alech, will be too difficult for you. Vayifotzbo, but Avshalom persisted. It's not going to be too difficult. So then David had to let him know the truth. Below Oval Aleches. Excuses aside, even if it's not too difficult, the truth is he didn't want to go. David just let Avshalom know for whatever reason he didn't want to go. Vayivorcheyu, he gave him a blessing. Stop here.